In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I have reminded you before of the fact that everything that the priest does as a priest, he does for others. He cannot give himself the sacraments. He is a priest and a Christian with you and a priest for you. During this beautiful month of October, the priest is reminded especially of the fact that he is a Christian with you. As a priest, he prays, heals, and offers sacrifice for the salvation of the world. As a Christian, he works out his own salvation in fear and trembling. As a minister of the sacraments, he brings grace to others ex opere operato, that is, by the mere accomplishment of the work and independently of his personal holiness. As a Christian, he must receive the sacraments with the proper dispositions in order to obtain graces for his own soul. And he must be a man of prayer, reciting and chanting the public prayer of the Church, the Divine Office, which he prays with and for the whole mystical body of Christ. But he must lift up his heart in private prayer as well, vocal prayer and mental prayer, meditation, contemplation. He is a man of the altar and a man of the office. But he is also a man of the beads, as I hope we all are. I think most of us treasure few things more than any gift given to us by our mother, especially once she has left this world. And of course, our mother was given to us too. Nobody chooses his own mother. We didn't choose our heavenly mother either. She was given to us at the foot of the cross. And now it is up to all of us to take her unto our own. From the day when our Blessed Mother gave the holy beads of the rosary to Saint Dominic until today, the Church has unceasingly recommended the recitation of the Most Holy Rosary. For from the heresies of St. Dominic's time until the horrors of the 20th century, the rosary has been the clearest sign of Our Lady's presence in our fallen world. In St. Dominic's day, she defeated the Albigensians. At Lepanto, she routed the Turks. At Lourdes and at Fatima, she confirmed our faith through the prayers of little children. Particularly timely for us are the miraculous events that took place at L'Île Bouchard, which is known in France as the approved apparition of Notre Dame de la Prière, Our Lady of Prayer. I have spoken to you of this apparition at great length in a past sermon. I will rehearse the essential details for you now. In 1947, a great part of the message of Our Lady of Fatima had already been fulfilled, and it seemed that its fulfillment would continue apace. The first great war had been followed by the even more horrific war of which she spoke. Russia had now spread her errors over half the globe, and it was unclear if the Red Horde would ever be stopped before it devoured all of Europe. This was the case even in fair France, eldest daughter of the Church, where a post-war financial crisis had permitted the communists to gain a foothold in every level of the government. They had been keeping in close communication with the Kremlin in order to find the right moment for their definitive coup d'etat, And by the close of 1947, it seemed that the moment had come. The leaders of the French government, convinced that all was lost, went to see the mystic Marthe Robin and asked her if there was any hope. "Never fear," she assured them. "The Blessed Virgin Mary will save France through the prayers of children." On the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, Our Lady appeared to four schoolgirls in a church in the little town of Lille Bouchard in central France. She asked the girls to pray the rosary for the deliverance of their country. She confirmed the authenticity of her appearance by several miracles, even curing one of the girls of her near total blindness, of which she had always suffered. Several days later, all riots and strikes in France had come to an end. The communist leaders were stunned when they received a mysterious order from Soviet high command: "Do not seize power." France had been saved by the beads. And these beads can save our nation as well. We may not live to see them change our government, but they can change hearts and save souls today. These apparitions in our time are a reminder that the Blessed Mother always acts in history. And at all these moments in history, she has been found offering her beads to her children. And if she acts in history, how much more should we believe that she acts in the spiritual life of every one of us? During this month of the Holy Rosary, I give you a simple exhortation: to learn to say your rosary well. That means, above all, learning to say your rosary in the school of St. Francis de Sales and other holy saints who followed him in this. Our holy patron taught that the whole of Christian perfection consists in a great love for God, especially in the love of God's holy will. And every decade, every set of mysteries, every chaplet of the rosary begins with an act of love of the holy will of God. We all know that to begin the rosary, we sign ourselves and kiss the cross reverently. This already is a very profound meditation, one which should we recall any time we make the sign of the cross. We sign ourselves on the brow, that is, on our mind, that we may know the will of God. Then on the heart, that we may love the will of God. And then on the shoulders, the arms, that we may embrace and do the will of God. The different sets of mysteries lay out for us all our spiritual progress and the love of the will of God, which is our whole spiritual life. The joyful mysteries begin for us the way of purgation, spurring us to humility, poverty, and obedience to God's commandments. The sorrowful mysteries cause to flower within us the illuminative way, finally embracing the love of suffering. The glorious mysteries are always mindful of the future life. They are the way of union. In praying devoutly the glorious mysteries, we arrive finally at desiring only to be dissolved and to be with Christ, so that our will may be united with His forever. To know the will of God, we require the virtue of faith, which we obtain from our risen Lord in the first glorious mystery. In the first joyful mystery, Our Lady of the Annunciation teaches us to love that will and keep it always in our heart. And in the first sorrowful mystery, we learn in the Garden of Olives to embrace that will, to cling to it, to drink of it. We begin each decade of the Rosary with the greatest prayer of love for the will of God, the greatest prayer ever composed, for it was God himself who willed to compose it. The Our Father, thy will be done. Yes, eternal Father, always yes, as St. Francis de Sales so lovingly worded it. Thy kingdom come in our minds, in our hearts, in all our doings. How fitting that the feast of Christ the King was chosen to crown the month of the Holy Rosary. It was a kingship won on the cross. And since then, our King is surrounded by countless subjects who have been sweetly conducted to his court by the gentle cords of his Queen and Mother. These cords are bedecked with the 150 beads of Hail Marys. They are rightly called Our Lady's Psalter. The 150 Psalms of David are to be found in the Holy Bible. The Hail Mary finds its origin in the Bible as well, but its true home here below is on the beads of the Rosary. More than any other prayer, they constitute our total consecration to Jesus through Mary. If we cling to those beads all our life, reciting devoutly our Hail Marys, using them to love the will of God, then we may go forth with the hope that our Mother will not let go of her end of the cord until she has brought us to the eternal rose garden, planted upon the waters of eternal life. Our Lady, Queen of the Most Holy Rosary, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.